Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We're so happy that you are with us for this Christmas Eve service. My name is the Reverend Jacob Nolt, if anybody doesn't know me, and I'm the pastor here, and we're just so excited to have you. Paper bulletins are available in the back, if that's more customary for you, but everything you need will be on the screen, so you can certainly decide whichever way works best for you. If you are on Zoom and you'd like a bulletin to follow, you can go to our Facebook page and scan the QR code that will lead you to the bulletin. Candles are in the back if you didn't get one on your way in, real and battery operated. You are certainly welcome to choose whichever candle is the best for you. We especially encourage younger children and those who might feel a little shaky to use a battery operated one. If you are joining us on Zoom, of course, find a candle and be prepared to light it at the appropriate time. We have various poinsettia dedications in our bulletins and on the screen, and also Dave Kotwitz donated the flowers in the back in memory of his wife Debbie. And for those of you who took a bulletin today, the bulletins will be the same for the 7 o'clock service. And if you do not plan to take your bulletin home, if you're just going to recycle it, please just leave it, and we'll reuse it. But you are more than welcome to take your bulletin home with you if you would like. I think those are all the announcements that I have. So as we prepare to share the peace of Christ, we are mindful that we might be sharing germs. So there are many ways to share the peace of Christ. You can hug, you can fist bump, you can wave, you can shake hands, and if you wave, we won't touch you. So however you'd like, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. Sue. You do. Surprise.
I didn't know that.
Oh, please join me in the call to worship. In the darkness, stars shine.
In the cold of winter, a warmth rises.
In the silence, angels approach. Your word is made of flesh, and we come in humble awe.
Your grace upholds among us, and we come to witness, worship, and honor. Hallelujah.
Join me in the opening prayer. Living God, Christ Mystery, Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for this holy sensing of your presence. As we take in the light you offer, may we be a reflection of that light, expanding the sacred being of this place into the sacred being of all things.
Our opening hymn is number 188, Angels We Have Heard on High.
You may be seated. On this Christmas Eve, we are gathered as God's people to celebrate again what Christ's coming means to the world. We join with Christians all over the world who are celebrating today. From Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. We light these candles today. Hope, peace, love, and joy. Jesus is the greatest gift who makes all these other gifts possible. So we light the Christ candle now as we think about what Christ's coming means to each one of us. Please pray with me. We thank you, God, for your gift of Jesus Christ to the entire world. We thank you that Christ's coming makes hope, peace, love, and joy possible for every person in every nation. Encourage us to do our part to bring goodwill and peace to our families, our churches, our neighborhoods, and the world. Now let your Spirit put us in touch with you, the living God, through the words and music we hear today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Becca and Miles, for lighting the wreath for us. We are about to engage in our service of lessons and carols, so there will be a lesson followed by a carol, followed by a lesson, followed by a carol, and so on. You are invited at each carol to either stand if it's comfortable for you to do so, or stay seated if that is a better option for you. Before we start this, let's pray. Please join me in the prayer of illumination. O God, turn out the lights in our busy lives, that in the darkness your stars may shine. Silence the chatter of our minds, that we may hear the angels sing. Bring us to our knees, that we may see the Holy Child. Make our hearts open mangers for your Christ to be born in us. You who are always with us, come to us again. Make your word flesh in us. Amen.
A service of lessons and carols. I'll be reading the first lesson. It's from Isaiah 9, verse 2 and verses 6 and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of heavenly forces will do this. The next hymn is number 180, O Little Town of Bethlehem, verses 1, 2, and 4.
The second lesson is from Luke 1, verse 26 through 35 and 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will receive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
The third lesson is Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. His first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city, called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest room.
Thank you. This is the fourth lesson from Luke 2, chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. Now in that same region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger.
The fifth lesson is from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Thank you. The sixth lesson is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
The seventh lesson comes from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
For the word of God in Scripture and for the word of God among us, thanks be to God. Our media piece is something that I collaborated with some seminary friends on. This is Love Breaks Open the Night.
Love Breaks Open the Night.
Written by Tim Powers Reed.
Music by Jacob Nault.
Presented by Tim Powers Reed, Jacob Nault, Michelle Taridian, and Joan Meyer.
Listen.
Something is shifting.
The night is holding its breath the way we do.
When we are standing on the edge
of something we cannot name yet,
but desperately need.
Listen deeper.
To the quiet quake beneath your ribs.
The one that whispers maybe hope is stubborn enough
to keep trying.
One more time.
Not for perfection.
Not for pomp.
But for a love brave enough
to be born human.
To show up without an entourage.
To arrive without armor.
On this night, God does not arrive polished. God arrives real, raw even.
Wrapped in sweat. Wrapped in courage.
Wrapped in the kind of holiness that smells like skin and risk and borrowed hay.
Held by the trembling yes of a young woman who dared to believe the world could still change.
Who dared to believe her own body could be a sanctuary.
When everyone around her wanted proof instead of faith.
Slow the breath, feel the weight of it, feel how the air thickens when heaven leans close.
This is the moment when heaven draws near.
The holy choosing proximity over power, choosing fingerprints and fatigue.
Choosing to learn the language of our longings from the inside.
Love is making its way through darkness, through fear, through every whispered verdict that said,
nothing good can come from here.
Through every family story that taught you to shrink.
Through every doctrine that tried to press you into a shape God never intended.
But tonight, right here,
in a stable that smells like survival and second chances, the divine pushes through the ache of the world
and takes its first breath, teaching us that even God is willing to be fragile if it means drawing close.
Hear it in your spirit.
That soft cry that cracks the night open.
That heartbeat that dares to say,
I am not afraid of your humanity.
Your scars, your unfinished healing.
Your questions that keep you up at night.
This is not a silent night. It is a laboring night. A holy, chaotic, sacred, sweaty, midwife-needed night. Where love refuses to stay distant. Refuses to stay safe.
Refuses to wait for us to have our lives together. Refuses to be impressed by our curated versions of ourselves.
Love comes now. Love comes anyway.
Love comes knowing exactly who we are. Messy, holy, whole, capable of breaking and mending in the same hour.
And if you are tired, if you are grieving, if you are holding your life together with nothing but hope and muscle memory and a prayer you barely remember how to pray, hear the truth.
You are still a manger, wide enough for God to rest in.
Wide enough for love to take shape.
Even if you are splintered, even if you are unworthy,
even if you feel like the world forgot your name,
you are still a place where miracles learn to breathe, where light warms its hands before stepping into the world.
So steady yourself.
Shake out the shame somewhere else draped over you.
Let wonder rise from whatever is left of you, even if it rises slow, even if it rises like smoke instead of fire.
For tonight, love is born.
Not above us, but among us.
And in us, and through us.
Breaking open the night so light can finally find its way home.
And find its way into you.
Again, and again,
and again.
Thank you to all of our readers, and to our staff, and to all of the wonderful people that make this this Christmas observance what it is. Friends, will you pray with me? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So when I was a kid and when we were preparing for Christmas, my mom found the elf on the shelf to be too much work, but she said something similar. Remember, Santa's watching. That probably meant that I probably shouldn't steal my sister's last cookie, and I probably shouldn't keep tickling her even after she says, please stop. The idea of getting coal in my Christmas stocking was something that I was warned about, but I don't think it actually ever happened. Does anybody else remember getting coal in their stocking when they were a kid? Yeah, maybe a couple. Most people know that if you get coal in your stocking, that means that you've behaved badly enough that Santa thought you didn't deserve presents this year. I don't know if I believe that Santa is that vindictive or that Santa is not full of grace, even when we don't always deserve it, but even just the thought of it was enough to deter me from being a bit of an overbearing big brother, if only for a few minutes. But as I was thinking about our last scripture for this evening, I've thought about how sometimes the language shifts, but the motivation stays the same. It's this idea that when we do good things, good comes back to us, and when we don't do good things don't come back to us. People understand that, at least on a selfish level. We want to be understood as good by the people around us. We want people to like us. But I think that we've seen enough of society to know that not every person in this world has the goodwill to do good things for others. I think that Jesus knows this pain all too well. In the beginning of the book of John, which Bob read for us, John's gospel tells us that the light comes to his own people and they didn't welcome him, understanding that Jesus is the light of the world. Sometimes I wonder if the people of Jesus' time couldn't fathom the idea that something so incredibly good was coming to them, even if they didn't earn it. There are many people in Jesus' ministry that feel themselves unworthy to receive the love and grace of Jesus Christ because they know they've done terrible things, the tax collectors and all of those kinds of people. And there are equally plenty of people in Jesus' ministry who know they've done terrible things and ask for his love and forgiveness anyway. This Christmas Eve, I'd like to reflect on the point that Jesus comes to us despite anything we might have done. This is my message for tonight in two sentences. Jesus does not come as a reward for good behavior. Instead, Jesus comes even if you get coal in your stocking for Christmas. This Titus passage isn't necessarily a common passage in our lessons and carols observances, but it carries a truly wonderful and important message. Our passage from Titus chapter 3, likely written by someone using the Apostle Paul's name and likeness, starts by saying that God saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to God's mercy. I know there have been plenty of times where I've fallen short of the kind of person I believe God wants me to be, and we've seen plenty of other examples of people in our society who could use a little grace themselves. Ebenezer Scrooge, the Grinch, even Santa Claus himself couldn't understand what Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer could offer him in the important work that he had to do in the midst of a terrible snowstorm. But what I love about this passage is that God shows loving kindness and mercy through Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus challenges us to be as good as we can, and is watching us just like my mom told me Santa was. You know, even if I was a Even if I had to learn how to be a better big brother, I wasn't always off the hook. Just because I do things sometimes that don't align with God's will, but Jesus abounds in grace and reminds us that we are loved and lovable. Jesus comes to us even when we don't think we deserve that love, even when people tell us that his love isn't applicable to someone like us. Instead, the Word becomes flesh and makes its home among us. God comes in our hearts and reminds us that providing things like adequate health care, food for the hungry, and protection to all of those in our society that are oppressed is exactly what Jesus would do. On a simplistic level, one would argue that Jesus is kind of like Santa Claus in the fact that he gives us gifts that we could never repay. But of course, it's far more than that. Jesus comes to utterly dismantle the systems that tell us certain other people shouldn't get what we get. We as a society are really good at putting other people in boxes, basing our understanding of people's worth on how hard we think they work, how much money they have, what they look like, who they love, or even things they can't control. And yet, in spite of all that, Jesus comes to us with love. Whether other people think we deserve it or not, and maybe even whether we think we deserve it or not, Jesus comes to us in spite of the labels that we put on ourselves, and despite all of the reasons we think he shouldn't. The author of Titus says that this Spirit was poured out richly through Jesus Christ, that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's a ton of baptism in imagery in here, too, meaning that we are bathed, drenched with the goodness and loving kindness of God, regardless of what society has told us about our worth. An eternal life of goodness and love is one of the best gifts we could ever receive. That's why so much of Christianity is focused on sharing the good news with somebody else and telling others that they should believe in that too. But the reality is, sometimes we get that right. Sometimes we get that very, very wrong. Some Christians we know have used fear to bring people to Jesus, basically using our belief in God as fire insurance. If you don't want to burn in hell, it's not too late, they say. But the writer of Titus gives us a different message. Instead of using our belief in God like fire insurance, we are cleansed by the water of rebirth and renewal. We always have the chance to start again. We always have the chance to start again. We don't have to face punishment if we're not sufficiently good. We can always start again because of the gift that Jesus gives us. So this Christmas, what are we supposed to do with that? For starters, in this capitalistic society, we're so often told that we have to keep as much as possible for ourselves. Billionaires are praised for their ingenuity, and others are praised for building success all by themselves. And if I'm honest, that probably makes most of us squirm, myself included. But I think Jesus would say that's a good thing. That's probably why people like Herod were so afraid of Jesus. All Herod knows is using his power to enrich himself and his closest friends while people like you and me were destitute, living on as much as they could, that was hardly enough. But just because this happened in biblical times doesn't mean it's right or that we should repeat it. How did we ever get to a point that we started judging each other based on what we thought other people deserved? How did we ever get to a point that the love of God was treated like something you only received if you did the right things or acted the right way? I don't think that we could conceive of a possibility that Jesus doesn't care about any of that, but my friends, that's what his birth, his life, and his ministry were all about. Jesus, God with us, comes to us again, whether we deserve it or not, whether we've done the right things or not, and even if we've gotten coal for all of the Christmases in our entire lives. Because we have a chance to start again with every year with the birth of Christ. We have a chance to remind ourselves once again that Jesus was a champion for the lonely and the poor and the marginalized and those who always finished last. Truly following Jesus demands that we do the same. So friends, as your Christmas joy radiates in your spirit this night, what will you bring in your heart to share the love of God with somebody else? Not to preach to them, not to offer them a fire insurance policy, but to remind them that God loves them and God champions them and God knows their name. One of the ways our church has enjoyed doing that is by partnering with organizations like REACH and St. Catherine Drexel and Church Health Services, not just by writing checks, but by being present. Showing the love of God by offering our care and our commitment to justice. And maybe even simpler, maybe our witness of love and hope will empower someone to come back to church after years of being told that they didn't belong or they weren't worthy of God's love and grace. As our media piece written by my friend Tim reminds us, even you are a manger wide enough for God to rest in. Friends, Jesus comes again. Jesus comes anyway. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been told. May you go this night with joy and gratitude in your hearts, ready to spread the love of God that you have received so abundantly. Thanks be to God. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give great thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. If you'd like, you can share a gift as the ushers come around in the offering plate, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net and scrolling to the donate on the bottom of the webpage. But however you give, may you do so with the remembrance that your gift benefits not only the ministries of this church, but also to the church universal. And by the way, there will be no doxology. We'll just go right into the prayer of dedication. The offering will now be received. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we thank you that you have given yourself to us. You have come to dwell with us, within us, and among us, by your presence with us. Grant us your peace. Send us into the world to bring good news to the poor, to set the captives free, and to proclaim your grace. In the blessing and the company of your Son, the beloved Jesus Christ, who is present among us, now and to eternal life. Amen. We are about to sing Silent Night. This is how it's going to work. Sue is going to play a full verse of introduction so that more people can light their candles, and then we'll sing Silent Night, followed immediately by Joy to the World. And please note that with Silent Night, we've added an extra verse, and that verse is not in your hymnal, but it will be on the screen. bringing joy to the world, verses 1, 2, and 4. Words of benediction. This is the poem called The Work of Christmas by the poet Howard Thurman. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart. Go in hope, peace, joy, and love, to spread the beauty of Christmas. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and Merry Christmas!